Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to dive into it, and we have an appetizer today. We have an appetizer. Usually we start, as is our custom, with dessert first, which means if you take nothing else away from today, if you're going to tune out and you've got meatloaf on and you're thinking about the meatloaf, or you're thinking about afterwards, just make sure you get this nugget, okay? Here's the dessert, and then but we have a bonus. We have an appetizer. But the dessert is this. The dessert is this. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happens tomorrow, God is faithful in the right now. And the most important thing in our world is not to figure out how we can get it right and adjust our faults, our screw-ups from yesterday, or pontificate upon the future. The most important thing that we can do right now is fix our eyes upon Jesus, because He is faithful. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that here in just a minute. The appetizer, that's the dessert. Take that away with you. It does not matter what happened yesterday, because let's be honest, some of you have some yesterdays. Anybody have a week like that where you're like, I fully manifested this week, baby. Woo! I'm going to scream. I fully manifested. Like, I don't know what happened, but I got into this spot and it was not pretty. I'm by myself on that. I'm the only one who kicked the dog this week. You bunch of liars. Come on. I didn't kick the dog. The dog's fine. But you know what I mean? There was a full-blown like, and it gets out, and you're like, that was terrible. And what's the temptation? Quit your job. Anybody else got any recommendations? There's a quit your job, quit your marriage, quit your, what else? Okay, what's even worse? What's the trap that nobody pays attention to? I mean, leaving it, that's a fun one, Greg. That's because you're an elder and you're at a different level. You get to say, I'm going to leave my job. Nobody really believes that that's going to happen. You, maybe. I believe. What's even worse than that? Boy, I'm going to double down. Make sure that never happens again. Ah, I'm going to keep it intact. Am I right, though? That ain't going to happen again. That was ugly. That was nasty. That's even worse. What if I told you that's even worse for your spiritual walk? What's the good news? The good news, and this is about the revolution. This is what I think that the apostle was speaking into. We used to spend countless days going saying, let's go back in our past. Let's go back. Let's let the Lord remind you of what happened so that we can mull over those issues and get them straightened up. What if God cares about this moment right here, right now? The freedom of this moment, and that's all that matters to Him. What if your explosion was your freedom? Jared, some of you, I heard your stories this week. Some of you full-blown manifested openly. Full-blown, like, demonic manifestations. And I'm sorry I say that with a smile on my face, because that's not good. Yet here we are, church on Sunday, going, Lord, search me and know me. I wonder what the key to everything is. I wonder what the Lord's looking for. Is He looking for a broken and contrite heart? Yup. What's the moment that He cares the most about? Was it the disaster? Was it the person that you hope to become one day and you're going to force yourself into? Oh, by golly, by the sweat of my brow, that's who I'm going to be? Or does He care about the right here, right now? And I'll show you, He cares most about the right here, right now, because in our text this week, here's what He said. Therefore, I love this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says. So just in case you were looking for a higher authority. Therefore, He didn't say, therefore King David said in Psalm 95. Because King David did say it in Psalm 95. Wonder who led him to say that in Psalm 95. Wonder who put it in a book that's now canonized, that we recognize this as a holy love letter from God Himself. Psalm 95. So just in case. Therefore, if you're looking for any higher authority, this is important. The quotation marks that come right after this, fairly important. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, God Himself says, today, what day? Come on, we're doing it again. What day?
Today,
if you hear His voice, who are you? Let me just. Have you guys heard another one of the Godhead? There's three of them, three in one. There's another member of the Godhead who said something about this. He said that his sheep hear his voice. So who are you? So if his sheep hear his voice, he's not. This book, the title of it is Hebrews, written to the people of God, written to the people who are tracking and growing in God. Hello, Hebrew, the people of God. Today, if you, the sheep, hear his voice, Jesus said, you will hear his voice, and another you will not follow. That's a command. Don't follow another voice. You're going to follow my voice. You will hear it, and you will follow it. Today, if you hear his voice, which you do, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation. That's kind. Kate, that's kind. He's being extremely kind here. Every time he says this, provoked with that generation, read the intensity of God. He was enraged. He's been walking. Think about where they're coming from. He just called them up out of Egypt. He called his nation of Israel up out of Egypt. They walked through an open sea, which God parted in front of them. They walked into the sea on dry land. They cross it. The Egyptians get swept up in the wake of it. All the nations hear about it. There's rumors echoing about going before them. They're shaking. The entire world is shaking. Don't let this nation come to us, because there's some prophecy that they might be coming in our direction. This might be their land, and there's a living God who dwells amongst them. How do we know? Because we peeked over the valley, and there was a pillar of fire at nighttime. And in the daytime, there's a pillar of cloud, and he leads and he guides them. And he sustains them with manna from heaven, with bread that tastes like honey from heaven. They don't even have to serve. They're in the middle of the desert. And he's promised something. He's promised a land and a future and inheritance for them. And he's driving them to it. Oh. You want to hear what the Lord says?
Jared, you're just passionate about that.
Exodus. I'll read it. That way we won't get all hyped up about it. Let's read it. Zach, you ready? Exodus 23:20. I'll read the one that you're reading. We'll be on the same page. We'll try and control ourselves. Behold, this is God speaking to his people. And I want you to think about this question as we read through the words. Who guarantees this? There's a condition here. He's talking to his people. He's telling them that he has something for them. They are his people who hear his voice, who walk with him. He is their God. They are his people. He's getting ready to bring them into a promise. Does any of that sound familiar for today? He is our God. You are his people. He has a promise for you. He has promised it. And until that day, he's going to walk with you in this land. There's an ultimate culmination of this eventual promise, but there's something for the here and now. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. I am sending somebody before you. I'm ready. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. My name is in him. Hold on before we go. My name is in him. The angel of the Lord will meet Joshua and fulfill this thing out. I'm just saying, there's going to come one who's going to come walking up, but there's one of these guys, and he's going to hit the dirt, and he doesn't call him up off the ground. That's the rightful place for you, son. Now, I have come in the name of the Lord. He's come again. He came in a name. He came with a name. We walk in his name. We bear his name, and he goes before us. And he is the guarantor. Cool. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. I will be an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, I will blot them out. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars into pieces. There's a reason behind all that. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I am the guarantor of this covenant. I will be against your adversaries. I will be against your enemies. I will make you fruitful. I will bless your food supply. I will bless your days. I will bless your children. I will sustain it if you will do this one thing. I will send my terror before you, and I will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come. There will be rumors and echoes. One translation says, I will send a hornet's wave in front of you, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send, there it is, hornets before you, who shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. There's even forethought in how he does this. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your borders from the Red Sea, he's got it, to the wilderness of the Euphrates, the inhabitants of the land, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. Here's their condition. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. That's theirs. That's a pretty strong case, don't you think? To me, if God promised, prophesied, said that he is going to be the guarantor of this covenant, I'm going to send you into this nation, who wants to double back? By show of hands, I don't think we got that one. You're the nation of Israel. I want you to put them in this mindset. God just descended. He's speaking with Moses, and he says, if you will not take on their gods, if you will be mine and mine solely, I will go before you. I will send an angel, and in my name will blaze a trail. I will guarantee it. Is that my watch again? Yep. She's mad at me. My Google. She doesn't know. Somehow I turn her on and I say, okay, Google. Nation of Israel. Going into the land. God guarantees it. Who's turning back? Nobody? You got a pillar of fire at your back. You know what's fascinating? In the movies, when you watch the movies and the Israelites cross the Red Sea, or at least the Charlton Heston one, I don't remember if it's in it, there's this sense of like, if they don't hurry up and get across, the Egyptians are going to catch them. So they got to hurry, hustle, 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 here they come. Well, whenever you're reading the word, there's a pillar of fire behind them. They aren't coming in until God lets them in. There's a giant pillar of fire. All that to say, God's got this, right? And with all of the miracles, with all of the signs, with all of the wonders, his people still get up to the river. And on the day that it matters, that day being today, on the day that it matters, no. They go in and they scout out the land. 12 spies, 10 of them come back and say, they're huge. They're huge. Would you pull up the numbers, whatever it is, ends in 33, I think. Something verse 33. And there they saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from, it's the illusion, the illustration is those people, whenever there were like this huge race of people, when the sons of God looked on the daughters of men, they created these massive people, and that was right before the flood, whenever God came through and wiped out this weird mixing of giant race. So when they're saying, we saw the sons of Anak, we see giant people. They were giants. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them. We thought of ourselves as small, and so we were. So we were in their sight. So two of them come back and say, do you not remember what the Lord said? Amen. It's rich with milk and honey. It waits for the promise of God. If we will lay hold of the promise of God, he will go before us. He will be our God and we will be his people. We'll shake terror throughout this earth. And 10 of them say, no. So at that place, the people, the next verse will say, the people of Israel quake in fear.
Quake in fear.
I want to show you a little bit further down in the text in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, an unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. How to say this, Lord? How to say this? The promise of God. The promise of God today. I don't want to get too far into saying, look, obviously we want to believe the Lord. If we believe the Lord, we walk in step with the Lord, things go well for us. Whenever the next generation's raised up, and they come to this crossroads. Whenever they go to cross the Jordan River, they look across the Jordan. They're ready. They're already militarized. They're ready to walk across. That's their inheritance. That's the land. They've got their leaders. They're ready to rock and roll. They're going in. This is what the Lord has said. They're ready to go. There is no coming back. It goes better when we say yes and amen to the Lord. But what happens? What happens when we've had a week like we've had? Was God done with the nation of Israel whenever they turned their backs? He was angry. But as a nation, as his entire people, did he discipline them? Yes. What's amazing is that we don't have to worry and think about all of the what-ifs and the possibilities. We don't have to worry and think about what we've done incorrectly. All we need to do is fix our eyes on the one who guarantees. We sang a song today. I can't wait. I hope that song, there'll be better ones for sure, but I hope that song is in heaven. That just felt like a heavenly decree. Those are the songs, those are the types of songs that we're going to be singing in heaven. What was that third one? Or fourth? The next to last one. Yeah. Psalm for you. Okay, well, never mind. I think we're pretty safe. He likes to remind us that we're talking about Psalm 95, basically the New Covenant. Which is where he says today. This is a warning. This is a warning. I have to write a knife's edge here because on one side of the equation, God is the fulfiller of this, but on the other side of the equation, he's issuing a warning. You are his people. Today, do not harden your hearts. He says it 3 to 4 times. I can't remember if it's 3 or 4. At least 3. I know for sure 3. He says 3 times over, do not harden your hearts. And he's referring to this specific time in the wilderness. Therefore, while the promise of entering my rest still stands, let us fear. You know what's interesting about this? Side note, sidebar. I hope this adds to the whole equation. What's interesting about this passage is at the very end, it says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Pastor David made a good point on Friday. He said, it's not like they just walked into the promised land. Whenever the guarantee of God was going, there's still work. There's still co-laboring. There's still like they, yes, the angel of the Lord went before them. There was terror and hornets, and he is the guarantor of it. But they still needed to pick up their swords and execute everything that he said to do, which was a lot of executing. There was a lot of fighting that still was to commence. They didn't fully expand to the borders that he told them because they stopped early. Something to think about there. But let us strive to enter the rest. So there's a rest that's promised, but there's still some co-laboring. There's still a process involved. So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living. This is what I think is funny on 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joint and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give account. I'm gonna do an old new thing, okay? Who has heard that verse before?
There's one.
Who here has? Okay, we've got six people who have ever heard that voice. You liars!
But you don't want to be made an example today. That's okay. Thieves and liars, that's who we are. For the word of God is living and active. Jason, you're going to answer for me. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and division of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
What have you heard that in reference to before? Go ahead. Have you ever heard? Okay.
For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, of joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart.
Thank you. It needs the inflection in order to get it. I feel that's the way I hear it in my head. Okay, building up the body. See, I like you. You had a good upbringing. I didn't.
Here's mine. That's the word right there. The word of God.
For the word, the physical Bible of word. Shows you my damage. Let me bring you into it for just 1 second. But I need you to show you the new. Or actually, it's what it always has been, but where the Lord's given us fresh eyes. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints, marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In my day, that meant if you study this thing, and by study, I mean if you memorize this thing, and you're able to regurgitate, as in fire what you've memorized, back at people in certain situations, whether judgmental, whether helpful, I don't care, and you used it, it was sharper than any two-edged sword, brother. It just scat. It cut people. Yeah, it cut people. Because that's not how this was intended. This wasn't a physical thing. You weren't supposed to memorize it, then regurgitate it at the right moment where you could just beat people. Sharper than any two-edged sword, brother. He's talking about a spiritual concept. He's talking about the word of God, the declaration of God, the understanding of God made manifest in this form, in Bible, in word form, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when applied properly, it can separate joint from marrow. It can separate spirit, soul and spirit. It knows where it's going. It finds its point. It hits its mark. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. What if you needed a good cut? You're not going to find it if you're studying, if I'm locking myself for a couple hours in the closet, Jesse and I were talking about this yesterday. Time has nothing to do with it. God can speak in a moment. In a moment. What are you doing for the other 3 hours? I'm in the Word, brother. Yes, the Word speaks. Yes, and amen.
It's the Spirit behind. Lord can speak in a second. Lord can take 3 hours.
If God's got me locked up in a closet for 3 hours, it's because I'm crying for 2.5. It's because he spoke for 30 minutes, and it was so powerful, I'm done for the rest of the day. If I'm
pouring over the words, because he's just building and building and building, or he has something that he wants to say, or he's refining a nugget, or he's helping me to understand something.
But he can break a hardened heart. The properly applied word. So I would ask you, what does that then leave in his way? If he wants to speak to you today, if Jesus says he will speak to you today, let me ask, what did the Lord say about yesterday? It's gone. What did he say about tomorrow? Has enough troubles of its own. What does he say about today? Today, if you could phrase it down for us, when you hear his voice, I think we're overcomplicating things. Today you will hear his voice. The warning side of it is don't harden your heart, do it. The blessing side of it is what could stand in his way? This is a really simple thing. Say you mess up, guess what can crack a hardened heart? The Word of God. Sharp, living, active. The Word of God, the presence of God. Amen?
I don't think we got it. I'll double back. I'll fly around this airport. I will, Greg. You know what I'm saying. Put me in a holding pattern.
I was having trouble. Here's how we want to live. Tell this story. I'll tell two of them. I think they're important to give you balance. We have been having, Jesse and I, we've been having a little bit of financial trouble. That's overstated. We're fine. We live within our means. We're okay. But we want to be more generous. We want to be more streamlined. We want to be more effective with the resources that we have because we're trying to grow a business. We're trying to send Jesse back to school. Trying to do things like that. So, I have a little bit of pressure from my father-in-law that says, hey, with your first $1 million that you make, you're going to buy my daughter a new car. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty safe there. We're going to be all right, you know, we're going to be all right about that new car. It's a new car. New car's on the list. Don't encourage her. She got that from you. Go home. She's already got a list of cars that she's researching right now. So anyway, trying to save up money for a future, replacing, maintaining, you guys know how it is, farm, everybody who's a part of finances and whatnot. So we're trying to be a little bit better about that. Well, we did not get some scholarships that we were kind of counting on at the beginning of the year. And it was like, what? We pretty sure we're in the ballpark of qualifying, you know? So anyway, there were some more needs, yada, yada, yada. We're going on about our journey, and it's been fun to watch Jessie because with each hit, she has the opportunity to say, God, what? And maybe there have been a few. God, what? Along the way. What are you doing? I'm your girl. I'm your daughter. What's happening here? There's been some frustration like, what? We're just spinning our wheels. What's happening? And there's a real temptation in this story to go, Jesse, what can we do better? What do we need to be working on? How do we present ourselves better the next time? How are we more, to get down on ourselves, to say we shouldn't have gone after that Starbucks drink. Good night. If we were a little bit better with Starbucks, we would probably have a couple thousand more dollars around. Yeah. So that's one way to live. Here's God's way to live. Jesse, it's Tuesday. We'll call it Tuesday. It's Tuesday of this week. Pretty recent story. It's Tuesday of this week. She wakes up and she says, I just had this dream. I just need you to know about it. It was weird. So there's these hands, right? All I remember are these hands. And they're chasing me around. They're trying to say, hey, you need money. We forgot to give you $4,269. They give you $4,269. Hey, you need $4,269. And she said, it's just one of those weird, it felt like a God dream kind of a thing, but, whatever. Mark it. Comes home that afternoon. She's driving back home, gets a phone call from Tarleton, and they say, hey, you were an alternate in the scholarship program. I just need you to know that $1,700. $2,600 is coming your way because this person decided to not show up at school. And she's like, man, yes. Hangs up the phone. That's amazing. Phone's ringing, picks up the phone again. Hey, this is Ranger. Just wanted you to know you are teaching an overage in the class. You're going to get an additional $1,500. I don't know. Does anybody want to guess how much it adds up to? $4,200. Still waiting on the 69. Who owes $69? Huh? Does anybody owe us $69? Because I'm calling in all tabs right now. I need $69. But that's pretty stinking good. I'm sure there's 69 that have come. I'm just saying. In the mix of all the stuff that's been going on this week. That's how we're meant to live. Oh, God. Wish we were just better. We do need to be good with our finances. Oh, God, I screwed up with that extra Starbucks the other day. If I just, in the future, here's what I'm going to do. We're not going to do that again. You know what I'd rather do? Oh, God, I just had a dream. $4,269 is coming. Admittedly, when she says $4,269 is coming, come on, you're like, yeah, Right. Do I cash that check? Put it in the bank. Go ahead and tell Tarleton check is in the mail. No. No. But that's how... That's literally how it is. That's how our lives can be. I used to hear, and trust me, just in the area of finances for 2 seconds for us all, look, be financially responsible. I'm not saying don't be financially responsible. Please be financially responsible. I used to hear all the time about how a check showed up in the mail. If you'll just mail it in, name it, and claim it, we'll believe it, brother. There's a falsehood to it. But guys, I'm here to tell you, God provides. If he's calling you into something, if there's a promise of God upon your life, if you are his child, you hear his voice, if we just answer the right here, right now. Here's the thing. What it says, don't offer your sacrifices. Our spiritual act of worship, because we're living sacrifices. Go to your brother. If you have an offense with your brother, go right now. When? Tomorrow? Yesterday you should have done it? What is the time that he wants you to go? Right now. What's the time that he wants you to deal with the sin issue? Right now.
See, bro.
Right now. Simple. It's not simple. I say that tongue in cheek. It's simple. Just go forgive your brother. Well, if that's on your heart, we walk in that. Boom. We have more than enough to do for today. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Today, he wants me to love on my wife. Check. Today, he wants me to, I don't know. Yep. And then he's going to say the next thing, and then he's going to say the next thing, and then he's going to say the next thing, and then he's going to say the next thing. And here's the deal. He has never failed. This scared me to death because there's another level to this I'm not quite ready for. I'm still growing into that. Pastor Dave was talking about on Friday. It doesn't even much matter. There's some indication, I'm just going to put this out, there's some indication that it doesn't even much matter. All the ups and downs, the responses of things, all that matters is him. And he's never failed. My issues are, I start to say, yeah, but Lord, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work in the church. We got a lot of work in the community. There's a lot going on. Do you remember? If we're going to get this done in my lifetime, we need to go. And he's on a different schedule. See, we were talking, it's been a couple weeks ago. Remember how he looks back down our lives and he doesn't see all the detours? He doesn't see the time whenever we said, yeah, I'm going to go do my own thing. He just looks down the channel of our life through the blood of Jesus and says, saint, son. He has the same ability to not fail and to streamline our lives. And guess what? If you miss, this is going to sound weird. There's a warning about this that says, do not harden your heart. Don't go into unbelief. Don't go into sin. When he tells you to do it, do it. If Moses told you, if all these prophets told you to do it, how much more so should we do it whenever the Son tells you to do it? There is a warning in this passage that says it is imperative that when we hear the voice of the Lord, that is all our heart thinks and meditates upon. We need to do it. But there's also some indication that he is the guarantor of it. That whenever we've messed up, his grace is sufficient. Paul says we shouldn't go out chasing after it. But if he's called us to it, he's going to pull us through it. Amen? Should be really good news. Should take a lot of the weight off of our shoulders, Elder Greg, about flight simulators and freaking out on flight simulators and stuff. It was a fun conversation to listen to. Dave kept on saying, I'm looking for the sin. What did the Lord say in it? Oh, he wants to build something into you. Building something into you is not sin. God, I need to be better in this area. That's not sin. When the Lord says, I want to deal with this, and we say, that might be a problem. So today, we're going to pray. And I say, today, don't harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. And tomorrow, even though we can't just worry about today, but tomorrow I would just encourage you, actually 10 seconds from now, what's on your heart, Lord? He's pretty chatty. He's going to have some instructions for tomorrow. But right here in this moment today is more than enough. It's more than enough to change our entire world. It's more than enough for to be so gainfully employed today. I have a mission today. I wasn't just making up something. I'm supposed to love my wife well today. Not her greatest, it may not be. I don't know, I'm just going to. It's not the greatest time in the world. It's a very busy, stressful time. But he's expanding her territory. He's expanding her boundaries, and I'm supposed to love her today. That's more than enough. If my whole heart's in it, that's more than enough. What's he say? Guarantee you, our marriage will benefit because he said it. Not because I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to work harder in that path. He said it. He said, love her well today. We're doing it. What did he say? What did he say? What's he saying? Ready? Give a little precursor here. Because when he says it, the same warning's coming. Please, for the love of all that's good, do not harden your heart and push this off till tomorrow. When he says it, lay hold of it in your heart. It may be something that you can't get done till tomorrow, but your eyes are fixed upon Jesus and we're getting it done. That's what he said. That's how we live our lives. So here we go. We're going in. Yeah, Father, we love you. Thank you that we get to be like Ben in the house, Lord. We get to run around. We get to run around, but whenever you say, Ben, come here, we listen. When you say, Jared, come here, I need you to love your wife. Yes, Lord, and amen. With all of my heart, yes and amen. God, grant us a broken and contrite heart. Grant us a humble, seeking, open heart for you. Lord, we open up our hearts right now. We've all said yes and amen, but we deal, there's a whole bunch of, there's 10 spies that have come back to our ears and have said, he's like, she's like, they're doing these things, I'm not ever, and we feel like grasshoppers. Help us to choose your testimony, your one voice, the voice of your Spirit who has throughout the ages said that Jesus is Lord, who has throughout the ages said that there is a loving God who wants to dwell amongst his people. I want to be your God. Will you hear me? Will you do what I say? So we say yes, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would announce those desires over our hearts as you always have. But make it clear to us today. Help us to hear you afresh and anew. Re-cleanse, re-digitize the system so that we can hear you afresh and anew today. Let it be our everything. Where there wasn't hope, let hope come rushing in. Because your word, your voice has said it. We hear you now. We may not have yesterday, but we hear you now. We may not have 10 seconds ago, but we hear you now. And what you are speaking to us is important. And so, Lord, we treasure it up in our heart. We treasure your word up in our heart. And we ask you for obedience to it, Lord. Help us to be bold and courageous in it. Help us to walk across the Jordan and take the territory that you've asked us to take, because we know that it won't be. We simply walk in obedience to your word. We know you go before us. Father, as we sing this song, let it be a response of our hearts to you. Let it be a molding of this generation, and I say that across age groups, just the people who hear my voice. Let it be a response of this generation to their God. We will cross. We will go wherever you go. Wherever you want to blaze a trail, Lord, wherever you lead us into, whether that be relationship, whether that be work, whether that be politics, whether that wherever that is, Lord, wherever you send us, we will go. Whatever you tell us to speak, we will declare. We will say it. Let this song be an announcement, be an anthem, be a cry of yes from our heart to yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.